Genesis is foundational in our understanding of the Bible. It lays the groundwork for the nature and person of God and for His work in the world. It's an essential book to understand if we're going to understand the whole message of Scripture. Genesis opens with the creation account, and Dr. Edward Young makes this comment about the first chapter. Quote, Genesis 1 is monumental in character and exhibits a stately cadence of grandeur as it reveals the sovereign Creator uttering His will, and that will coming to immediate fulfillment. So the narrative proceeds until it reaches its climax. The Lord beholds the finished world and pronounces it very good. There are a number of themes throughout the book of Genesis which are prevalent not only in this book, but also continue to repeat themselves throughout the whole of the Bible. Dr. James Smith, in his commentary on the book, notes 7 distinct themes which we see in the book of Genesis. Number 1, of course, as we've already mentioned, the theme of creation. God speaks forth His word, and when He does, things begin to happen. Life comes out of nothing, and God looks at His wonderful creation and continually calls it good, even very good. Number 2, Dr. Smith notes the presence of sin in the book of Genesis. Indeed, this is correct. In the garden, Adam and Eve lived in paradise, but they decided one day not to allow the word of God to guide them in their actions, but to define for themselves what they thought was good and evil, right and wrong, taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and thereby rebelling against the Lord and allowing sin to enter the world. As a result of this, Dr. Smith also notes, number 3, that judgment is found in the book. Indeed, Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. Cain was sent off in isolation after murdering his brother Abel. The flood was sent because the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men were only evil. Continually, the Tower of Babel, Sodom and Gomorrah, over and over, we see God's disdain for sin repeated throughout the book. But even though there is great judgment as a response of sin, there's also the presence, number 4, of grace. Genesis 3:15 says that Noah found grace. Genesis 6:8 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 3:15 is that wonderful promise God made to Eve that she would have a descendant who would destroy the power of the devil. And to Abram, God said, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Genesis 12 and verse 2. God's grace is active in the lives of these men and women. Number 5, Smith says that election is a doctrine found in the book of Genesis, a theme found therein. God chose Abraham among all the nations, all the men of the earth. He chose Isaac over Ishmael, Jacob over Esau, and Judah over his 11 brothers. Not that He chose these men for salvation and others He predestined to be lost. Rather, He elected these men to accomplish His will on the earth, to move His program forward to the ultimate goal of the Messiah. That brings us to number 6. Smith says that promises are present in the book. Now, some promises are fulfilled within the book itself, like the birth of Isaac, yet others are still future for the men and women who lived in the book of Genesis. But Genesis makes it clear that time is marching forward for the purpose of fulfilled divine promises. And because the men and women of the Bible were confident in this, number 7, Dr. Smith says that faith is an ever-present theme in Genesis. The patriarchs had their faith in the promise tested repeatedly, Dr. Smith says. During their lifetimes, they experienced but token fulfillments of each promise, yet they continued to believe, and God counted their faith as righteousness. The supreme example of this testing is recorded in Genesis 22, where Abraham was commanded to offer his only son as a sacrifice to God on Mount Moriah. So we see these 7 themes woven throughout the text, throughout the narrative, coming up again and again, showing us the character and nature of God, but also of His purposes with His creation. Finally, I want to read you a quotation from H.C. Leopold and his Genesis commentary. Quote, the purpose of Genesis may be formulated thus. The book aims to relate how Israel was selected from among the nations of the world, became God's chosen people. Since, however, this choice was not made because of the merit or the excellence of Israel's ancestors, but wholly because of God's unmerited and unmeritable mercy, the book may also be said to be the story of God's free grace in establishing Israel for himself as his people. Not only for establishing Israel for himself as his people, but establishing Israel for the purpose of fulfilling the messianic hope. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, God told Abraham. And so today we reap the benefits of those men and women of old who carried forward the program of God in unique and spectacular ways.